Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
So, as we start, the Lord has been here, and we just ask Him to be to continue to be here and to intensify His presence. And I'm going to go back to something Catherine mentioned in the earlier words. And this is something I was seeing before she even started talking about it. She talked about somebody that has her people that have kind of darkness in their mind, like things that are not good. So I just declare right now that any of us, each of us, that have things going on that are dark in our minds, and this happens to all of us at one point or another, right? It's a process to walk with God. It's a process to walk forward. So any of us that have that going on right now, I just pray in Jesus' name. I see Jesus putting His hands around our head, putting His hands around our brain, and just touching us and extracting the poison, extracting the darkness, extracting the demonic things, extracting the lies, the falsehoods. I see Him extracting those and infusing light and life and truth and peace and honor and blessing and wisdom and good community, many, many, many things I see Him infusing. And so we just settle right now in this place in the intensity of God working among us to let Him do that in our minds and in our hearts. And so we just pray that He continues to touch us and bless us in that place. So we love Your presence, Lord. We love Your work. You're always right on time. You're always perfect. You generate every good thing. You generate and hold together even those people that are opposing You. You generate everything for them to even exist. You generate those things. You generate stability in our world. You hold everything together. Everything exists in You. And so we just give You praise and honor and glory. And we pray that Your wisdom and love continue to funnel up and erupt into us in order to see the glory of the Lord, in order to have that reflected here on earth, this rebellious earth, as it is in heaven, and it should be here, but it will be one day fully. So we thank You for Your presence and Your glory, Lord. Thank You for touching each of us. Thank You for talking to each of us. Thank You that even this afternoon You're going to give wisdom and insight into some thorny issues and problems, some things that are going on. You're going to give insight and wisdom. You are going to bring freedom and life into us this afternoon as well, and this evening, especially this afternoon. So just look forward to treasuring some time this afternoon with Him to honor and bless Him. Amen. So let's continue about Acts 19 and 20. I don't know if I need to be here or over there or what. The view line is good. So we'll wait for the thing to come up. We're talking in Acts. So if you see, I'll just apologize up front. If you see Romans anywhere in here, I did the first PowerPoint with Romans, and Twyla fixed it on the fly today. So if you see Romans, just translate that in your mind to Acts, because we are in Acts 19 and 20 today. And Acts 19 and 20 are Paul, as we've been hearing for the last several weeks. Paul is now again talking into the multicultural milieu of Asia Minor under the Romans. So Romans controlled everything, but they had all sorts of different ethnicities, different gods, different situations going on. You had a definite Jewish diaspora. That means a scattering. You had Jews scattered out from the Holy Land that were living up in Asia Minor that would congregate in cities and form synagogues together and worship God in the Jewish way, right? You had all sorts of pagan gods. You had the same ferment we have today. Just the same incredible all sorts of messages across the culture going on. And so Paul is coming now and continuing his talking. And so let's just go ahead and take a look at Romans 19. Acts 19, verse 8. So if you want to pull that one up, it would be great. Yep, perfect. So Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, so Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. So every time I read this, I get new emphasis going on. If you don't know me, I'm always thinking about all sorts of different things. So don't limit me to the slides. The slides help you, but I may pop off into different areas, so don't be nervous. Just do whatever you can do there. So powerful stuff going on here, right? So what's happening is that when Paul is bringing the gospel, first of all, some people get obstinate, right? So when we start talking about God and the responsibilities we have towards God to love and obey Him, some people really don't want to hear it. Now, there can be 27,000 reasons for that, right? And you've probably thought about a few of those for yourself. Because we always want to be wise in how we approach life. And so we want to think through options, think through how to think through different possibilities. And so we want to be wise and understanding. So even we can think through reasons why people would choose not to worship God, right? So some folks got obstinate in this process and were attacking Paul and were attacking what he was saying and basically not wanting to hear him and wanting to shove him out of the synagogue. But notice that he went first to the synagogue, to the people that the people that God has revealed himself to, the people of God through the Old Testament, from creation all the way through Jesus. Okay, the Jews are the chosen vehicle of revelation. And they continue to even so after Jesus, but it's a little different framework at that point. So understand, Paul here is trying to go to the base of the people that are closest to God. So he's finding the affinity of worship, and then he's going to try to encourage them and teach them to follow Jesus, to say, yes, the Messiah has come. He's fulfilled the old Jewish rites, right? He doesn't negate them, but he completes them. And so now we want to transition from simply being Jewish into being followers of Jesus. They called it the way back then, okay? So important for us to understand. We're always trying to find the most common routes and avenues to talk with people and to share with them about Christ. We're always trying to find the best way to communicate these ways. But they rejected, and he went out to the other place and started talking about it. And Tyrannus, again, that's going to be a Greek name, so or a Roman. So basically, Paul now is going out from the synagogue into probably a former pagan or maybe former Jewish proselyte or convert that had come to Judaism, but now wants to hear Paul and is willing to fund him, basically, for this period. He's willing to open up his hall, the lecture hall. So it probably was some sort of a school situation, but this guy opens it up to Paul to preach the gospel because he's so interested in what God is up to, what God's doing. And then we start going on and seeing that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So the supernatural power of God erupts whenever the kingdom is brought forward, right? Whenever the kingdom is brought forward, you know, the supremacy of Jesus, the fact that he is everything, he's the true God, the picture of the true God, right? When obedience and faith in him is preached, miracles start to erupt. You can't stop them. You really can't. That's just the nature of God. He's so generous and so powerful and so good, you can't stop miracles of goodness when he's proclaimed and when he's honored and worshiped. You can't stop it, right? Now, a lot of folks out there are, not sure about miracles, and we get that. You know, we understand these questions. We understand science and proving things and falsifying things and doing experiments and seeing what works and what doesn't. I mean, we understand that, right? There's a lot of really good stuff in there on the natural level. There's a lot of really good things that we value in that place, right? It's the way we work together. It's the rules God has put in the natural world that generally work. That's great. It's awesome. It's why we have consistency in our lives. It's why we have gravity, why we have the things normally work together. They're not totally chaotic, right? This is good. God created it. God created it and said it was good. And yet, add on to it the fact that when he starts talking in the supernatural, the natural rules start to go to the side. They start to go, they are pushed aside because the supernatural goodness of God is coming up through them. And so, in this case, things that normally wouldn't, why don't you go back to the handkerchief ones. I'm going to point the last verse. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured. So, this doesn't normally happen, right? An inanimate object usually is not, it's just something you use for a function. You know, wiping your sweat or whatever. But in this particular case, God infused that natural object because of Paul's presence and his proclaiming the kingdom. He infused that natural object with supernatural power to heal and do miracles, right? And the same thing is there for us when we ask God humbly and respectfully. The same thing is there for us when we are desiring to honor and bless God and to let him be held high, right? And for us to be important, but for God to be the crucial one in situations. And we're important. The people we're talking to are very important as well. But God is the crucial one in every situation. And so for us to step into that place is not hubris. It's not arrogance. But if we do it humbly, Lord, make your presence known. Be seen in this place, right? Call people's heart to you. Then we can ask him to do great things. We can ask him to do things that are out of the ordinary. We can ask him to do things that are incredible and powerful. And so I just want to point that out. The next one there, if you would, Catherine. The supernatural power of God erupts when the kingdom is discussed. Should be the next one there if you're able to get to it. Okay, good. So that's good. And then go to the next one. And basically, like Jesus demonstrated, to worship God or to show God is to proclaim him and also demonstrate power, right? That's what Jesus did. You remember he would do miracles, he would also teach. You remember that? Remember a few times he would say, he would do a miracle, he'd heal somebody, then he'd say, don't go tell anybody about what I just did. Okay, why would he say that? Why would he say, don't tell people that I just healed you from a sickness? Why would he say that? I mean, it makes no sense if you want your message known. Right? Right? On the base level, but then on the bigger level, he said that to say, I want to preach and proclaim what I'm going to say when the miracle is told so that they understand the full implication of it. So he's saying, don't talk about it now because you may not have the full message yet for someone, but when I speak and teach, then I have the full message of the kingdom, and that miracle then has the power it should have and the meaning it should have to people. That's my interpretation of that scripture. It kind of, to me, it fits in with the idea that God wants the full kingdom proclaimed, the full worship proclaimed, and he wants to empower that message with the supernatural miracles and works of wonder that come to verify that this is a bigger thing than just the natural. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, hopefully I'm on the right track there. Lord's always able to edit what I say so he gets his message across. It's always a given and always greatly appreciated. So to show God is to talk about him and also demonstrate his power. So this should be our, you know, our prayer and our discussions with people is like, okay, God, okay, you know, how do I communicate with things? And then how do you want to show your power in a situation? How do you want to come in and do that thing that's able to show them something new and different than just the normal world, right? This the normal thing. And so, you know, Paul, you know, it just Paul's example here and the things that he was doing just kind of give us that impetus. They give us that momentum, you know, onto thinking these things through and meditating on them and talking about them and being open to them so that we are inviting the supernatural, you know, of God, of the Holy Spirit into our life as we work forward and as we operate. And you know, it's like, you know, there's so many things that go on with this. You know, I'm just kind of reflecting because, you know, there's, Most of us in here have heard many different things that people call miracles, and many of them are also verified, you know, by the medical science, right? I mean, when you have a real miracle, and again, we're talking about something that's, you know, demonstrable, like healing something that's physically wrong or something like that, right? But there's more than enough evidence of miracles out there to believe in God. There's more than enough evidence to believe in God in every situation, right? But God in this rebellious world leaves enough evidence to not believe him as well and to give people their own reasons for not believing. And so we just need to be aware of that, right? We need to be aware that God gives us free will. It's a massive thing for him to give us, each of us, free will to choose to believe what we're going to believe, right? And his approach to us as people is predicated on that in a huge way, right? And so it's a value. So even in the way we approach people is we don't want to be coercing them. We don't want to be, you know, twisting their arm too hard. Now, granted, sometimes we have, we have strong words in situations. That's definitely appropriate. That's communication. But we don't want to be coercing people or forcing them to believe. In the end, it's their call. In the end, it's their decision with the Lord. But we just, we present, you know, so many things we've seen. I mean, I recall, I may have mentioned this, but I know a guy, in fact, he's kind of the head of my men's group, whose daughter was had gallbladder issues, and she was probably 16 or 17 at the time. And they live in Gages Lake. And I know her doctor as well, and her doctor said we were about ready to have surgery, like we start thinking about it. And this doctor is a believer and believes in miracles, so it's not something they would do lightly, right? Kara's nodding because she knows the story. And she knows the people. And so basically the mom said to the daughter, you know, and the daughter was missing school, could only eat, you know, bread, what is it, B-R-A-T, what is it? Bananas, rice, applesauce, toast, something. Like when your stomach is really bad, like you kind of go back to the basics and try to keep things moderate. And so she was down to the point of like missing school every other day, like couldn't go to school. Things were getting pretty bad. And so the mom said, let's go down to Kansas City because there's a Christian gathering down there that was having miracles. And God was erupting with miracles in the services. So they went down there. And they were in there for several sessions, and not much was happening. And there was just, you know, a lot of thinking with this young one and the Lord about what's up. A lot of breakthrough, but also a lot of, okay, Lord, what's happening? Well, finally, they get to a session. There's probably 1,000 people in these meetings. I mean, these were being televised back in the day. And so the guy up front, the speaker said, at one point said, I think there's a young girl here who has serious issues with her gallbladder. I think that was the gist of it, wasn't it, Kara? Serious issues with her gallbladder, right from the front. I mean, 1,000 people there. They didn't. And even mentioned surgery was mentioned. Okay, surgery is being contemplated. And he said, I think the Lord is here for you. And so her friend hit my friend's daughter and said, hey, that's you. And she goes, okay. And so she raised her hand, and the guy said from the front, okay, people gather around her, lay hands on her, and pray for her. And as I heard it, when they laid hands and prayed on her, it's like she felt like this fountain or this geyser go through her. And it's like she knew God was doing something physically to her. She knew her body was changing. She knew things were different, right? So she goes to her mom after that's kind of done and says, Mom, you know, I feel like God did something. And her mom says, well, let's go find the worst thing you can eat afterwards. Whatever it was. Pizza. Let's go eat pizza. Pizza. Let's go have pizza. They went out and had pizza. Everything was fine.
And I think popcorn.
Was it popcorn too?
Popcorn too.
Okay, okay. And the next day, what's the next worst thing that you can't eat? Whatever. They went and had it. Everything's fine. And so she's a normal young one now. After surgery was being contemplated, even by Christians, because God had, to that point, not healed. But he was choosing to reserve it to that day and that time and that situation. And so another truth in that, you know, God's day and time and situation is the perfect time for things to happen. So we just need to put on our insistently, in a good way, patient hat when we're praying for things, right? Insistently in a good way, but and also patient hat. Because God knows the right setting. He knows the right setting for you. He knows the right setting for everyone around you. He knows the right setting. Maybe you haven't met a person yet. Maybe something needs to come into place. A relation needs to happen before you're ready for something, right? So all these things go together in the kingdom. So this is beautiful, beautiful stuff. And I could talk about this for a long time, but we need to move on. So let's go on to the next one then. The next little vignette or little section we're going to talk about is Acts 19:13. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the dark powers, the supernatural powers. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, so apparently they were successful, right? They were successful. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house. So, obviously dark powers are real, right? And I think most of us understand that. Supernatural, demonic things that are against God are real, and they have a massive effect. And, you know, if you still have further thoughts in this area or questions or you're thinking about it, ask the Lord to enlighten you. Ask the Lord to show you some situations where demonic things are affecting you or someone else. Because He will. He's good that way. He will show you these things. Because we operate here in the natural with people, but there's always the supernatural affecting in one way or another. Now, when we're serious about the Lord, okay, usually the demonic stuff can't have a massive, massive effect on us because we're protected by God, and God is bigger than those things, right? And yet, they still find ways. God permits them while we're still down here, permits them to bother us and to try to thwart His kingdom. But this especially happens in Christians that don't understand these things yet, right? They think that everything is kind of like monochrome, like one level. They don't understand the supernatural levels affecting everything. So the demons have a real heyday with them because they understand God, but they don't really understand how to live with Him in His presence, understanding the complexity of life, right? And it's also bad in those that are pagan, that those that don't want God. Because when people rebel against God and don't want God, either in the whole of their life or in a part of their life, then they are really open and they really get abused badly and they abuse other people in a major way oftentimes, right? And so, you know, and we've talked about this before, so I think most of you are probably aware, but you know, our culture's kind of sliding back a little bit now, you know, out of the kind of Christianity as a common language, or at least understanding about it, it's sliding back a little bit more out of that, right? So you have the shows that are talking about the supernatural, the witches, the warlocks of things on public TV. And they glamorize it, they make it look good, but believe me, it looks good from the beginning and at the surface, but in the end it's going to bite you bad, really bad. And so just be aware of that. Be aware that even in that place, the world is putting the wrong picture on it and really becomes a very, very bad thing in the end. And people get very twisted up badly. And you can often see it on them, even as you walk, right? When you see somebody that's just got that look about them, like they're living in a different world and things are so dark and they almost like suck energy, they suck love in a bad way. And they like almost like negate it like a dark star or black star, right? When you see that kind of person, there's probably something supernatural going on right there. And hopefully they haven't, you know, basically given themselves deliberately over to it. Because if they have, it's a long road back, right? You can be quick with God, but they often have to change their will in a massive way. And that's hard work, right? They have to change their will in a massive way to come back to God. And to learn to live with God again, to choose to go to that place. But you also see the effect on people that don't understand it yet. They're attracted by the supernatural. They kind of want the power, right? But they're not sure they want to follow Jesus and to learn to be humble and loving and caring and to choose to die to ourselves to live to Him like Jesus calls us to do. And that's what was happening back here, right? So here you had some sons of a Jewish chief priest. So apparently they weren't converted to Christ. They were still operating Jewishly, so they did not want to be identified with Jesus nor to submit to Jesus, and yet they wanted to use His power to kick evil spirits off. Again, complex. I mean, the motive is probably good, and if you're just saying get evil spirits out of people, that motive for that little section is good, but yet they weren't willing to come under Christ's authority to try to use His power. So they were essentially trying to use a power which they should not be using because they weren't coming under Christ, right? Our power is in Christ, not in us, right? He gives us massive power, right? When we're in Him and solidly in Him, but once we start especially deliberately moving outside by deciding to do our own thing in a bad way, right? In a greedy way, a selfish way, an arrogant way, then we start losing that power. That power is taken because in the end, Christ is the source of all the good things. And so, it's harmful to exercise supernatural raw power just for power's sake. We're always going to do this to honor and bless Jesus, right? So, when people do it just in a raw sense, you know, it can become bad, right? So here were Jews trying to use Jesus' authority while isolating away from Jesus Himself. The answer, as we're talking about, is move towards Jesus, right? This way, we can do the supernatural powerful things. We can kick out demons. We can raise the dead. We can do the things that God wants while being in the center of His heart. So I'm not doing it for me or even for that person just in themselves. I'm doing it because it's the framework of what God wants to work into. I'm doing it because it's the framework of where God is going to. And God loves people. And God does want to give them freedom. God does want to bring them into great places. So, clean heart and life and advantaging Christ, right, are the framework here. So, even though the supernatural's around us, the powerful things are going on, we see in our lives some situations where you just kind of go, wow, there's something bad here and it's more than just human, right? It just feels like it's inevitable, the dark is going to win. Right, that's kind of the feeling that comes when there's something demonic going on. It's like inevitable, the bad side's going to win. No, step into that. In Jesus' name, no. Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, Jesus, affect whatever is happening there in the supernatural way. Tamp it down. Tap down the demons, Lord. Give people that want to come out the chance to come out into Christ. Let them understand it and show them that Your power is here even in the midst of this difficult situation. And so we do want to kick out demons. We do want to do all these things. And we want to do that as we're flowing with Christ, as we're flowing with Him. That's the great thing to do. All right. What happens then after this thing that goes on? So let's look at Acts 19:17. Good, you're there. Beautiful. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, this is what I'm talking about, that these Jewish exercisers were beaten up, right? Pretty badly by the evil spirit. So when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. So they're getting the distinction. They're getting the distinction that Jesus is the power to kick out demons, but if you try to misuse His name, He is certainly able to basically slap your wrist and have you beaten up. If you're gonna deliberately misuse what he's trying to do, so it was held in high honor, and they understand it's a solemn thing to step before the Lord. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done, talking about magic, witchcraft, talking about bad supernatural. Right, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachma. Would you stay where we're at, Catherine, for right now? In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. All right, so 50,000 drachma. I mean, is this like Japanese yen, where it's like you got to have 7 million to have $1? Or is this actually serious money? What do you think? It's a question. It's Serious money? Okay. What's a guess? What's a guess on how much money that is in today's wages?
$500,000.
Okay. Go higher. Anybody else? Higher?
Million.
Higher? Lower. 10. It's about 10. A denarius, silver denarius, was about a day's wage, so figuring the average wage is about $50,000 now, I think it's $200 a day maybe, so that's about $10 million worth. So they saw the gravity of what God was doing, and they knew they had to get rid of the dark side, the dark stuff, and they invested by losing the value of those things. And again, when you have dark stuff, especially if you came out of witchcraft or you have, know somebody that does, you destroy the stuff. If it's something that can be used for a good purpose, a regular purpose, then you can clean it spiritually and supernaturally and reuse it, right? Because God just doesn't destroy things that have use and are meant to be good for us. But if it's something that was intended for witchcraft directly, then you destroy it, just deface it. You don't leave it for someone else. You don't throw it away. You don't sell it. You destroy it. And this is the investment that we make into the kingdom of God, right? I mean, we're investing our lives into Him, and we should invest the things of value that were intended for bad as well. And we do that by destroying them. And so they basically destroyed their scroll, brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. So this is, you know, a great value point for us is saying, okay, what am I doing now to love God and honor God that actually costs me something, right? What is it that I'm investing in God, and it's something that's a challenge for me? Because what you're giving to God is not even so much the thing you're giving, but it's almost like the effort it takes, because God's got everything. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything, right? Everything returns to Him one day. So it's not like He needs things. But it's almost like, what's the effort that it is for me to give something of value, to give an offering, to give something, right? What is it? And it's like the effort that we make to do it. It's the value, the effort that it is. You know, the stories told of shepherds that would, you know, maybe talk to Jesus. I mean, I can see this happening. You know, it's like, Lord, it's like how hard it is when you, and back in the Old Testament, commanding, you know, killing the lamb once a year for your sacrifice to cleanse yourself, right? Doesn't work the same way now, but that was what God required then. And a shepherd might say to Jesus, okay, Lord, it's like, do you know the effort it is to take the best young, you know, male sheep or goat, sheep, the best young male. Now think about it. That one can breed and make awesome babies, awesome young ones. The bloodline of my herd improves when I have the best one to be able to breed. It's like, do you know how hard it is to take that best one and basically take it out and say, I'm going to kill it for the Lord. I'm going to offer it to the Lord. And I think the Lord's response would be, it's not the value of the lamb itself that's important, but it's your heart. It's the sacrifice that your heart makes to honor and bless God. It's the good sacrifice that your heart makes. And so, again, we don't want to belabor or get bad in any way on this, but it's like, just sit before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I worship and honor You by giving You things that are important and valuable? How can I honor and bless You? Are there more areas that You want to bring richness into my life where if I divest or give things away or do without, that You want to bring riches, you know, streams of living water, you know, fountains of living water? If there are things that I can give up, you know, what would they be to honor and bless You and to bring your supernatural goodness into my life? And so this story from Paul is an incredible wise, encapsulated historical comment about this very area, right? These people saw how serious it was to think about God, to honor God, to bless God, and so they're willing to say, you know what, I was wrong before, and I'm gonna burn these things of value to me because I was doing witchcraft before, I was going against the true God, and now I choose to get right with the true God. I'm not going to make any bones about it. They said, I'm going to do this. This is out in public. It's like, I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to be a different person. And, you know, we may, most of us are probably already on that path, but is there something new and fresh that we can do for God in this area? Union with God is the only value. All right. Then we come to the end, and we'll kind of conclude with this area. And really, in a sense, it's a conclusion for Paul with Asia Minor, as we'll talk about. So in Romans 20, Acts 20, 25. Now I know that none of you, and this is Paul after he had basically traveled over into Greece and then come back, and he was trying to get back to Jerusalem. So he says, and the Holy Spirit reminds me by prophetically every city I visit that chains will be awaiting me, right? In other words, he's going to be in prison. So the Holy Spirit's reminding him, right, at every stop that he's not going to control where he can go after this. And so he talks to the elders of Ephesus. He says, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Okay? So Paul says, you're not going to see me again on this earth. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth. And men is generic, men and women, right? Men and women will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for three years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Is there a little more after the 32? Yeah. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not... Here he's gonna defend his behavior and get to the heart of how we determine who's really following God. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. So Paul goes through a bunch of things here, right? He says, look at my example. He said, I basically worked. I manually worked, probably making tents, right? Which would have been a line of work trade back then. Probably making tents to provide for himself. So again, pastors are worth their wages, and then that's absolutely fine, right? But Paul is saying, I didn't come among you to try to get big offerings that I could divert into my own account. I didn't come among you to build a power play kingdom where you value and hold me up so I have power and influence and whatever else that gets me, right? I didn't come for that, right? I didn't come to try to, you know, make a name for myself. I didn't come to try to knock somebody else out of the saddle in some way or shape or form. He said, he's basically saying, I'm coming because this is what God revealed himself to me, and I'm being as pure as I can to proclaim the kingdom of God. Be as pure as I can to honor and love God. To be as pure as I can to worship the Lord that gave his own life up to save me and you and us, right? And so the motive, as he's saying in his preaching and teaching, is not to get things for himself, but to build up the honor and blessing and love of God and the great things that occur. And so, you know, Paul and they were weeping because they knew that he had poured his life into them, and they knew too that, you know, the kingdom of God is a serious thing. I mean, You know, our culture has got a lot of things going on right now. Our society's got all sorts of things going back and forth. A lot of words flying, a lot of anger, a lot of things happening. And, you know, God wants to be in the midst of this. God wants to be in the midst of this to give us wisdom and understanding, for us to offer hope from the world beyond. But sometimes the world doesn't want to see that either. And so we have to be steadfast. And so sometimes that involves sacrifice on our parts, right? And I don't want to go much farther with that right now, because that's kind of a discussion for another day, a big discussion. But we need to understand that that being close to the Lord in this rebellious world is glorious and good, and yet it also is a place of suffering. It's also a place of being serious about God and understanding there's greater ramifications than simply the natural interaction of people. And so that will affect us sometimes, you know, in suffering, like Paul. And basically Paul is saying, I will suffer what the Lord wants me to suffer. And I have the full number of days until that suffering is completed. Whatever God decides is up to him, he would be saying to them. But he says, I'm not going to see you again in this world. I will not. And they cried, because they loved that he was putting his heart out for them genuinely in the Lord, and that he was not holding anything back. I mean, he was being appropriate with people, right? He was having good boundaries and wise, but yet they knew his heart was for them. He was showing them his heart was for God and for them. And he was holding them up, and he was showing them how to live in the presence of the Most High. To live in the presence of Jesus, how to be infused with those works of wonder and just God's Holy Spirit flow, right? How to be infused in that place, to live in that place consistently, how to build community that way, right? How to help those that don't understand yet, how to operate and to walk in it, you know? How to encourage, invite people into the community, right? And also understand that the community is massive, and it responds to Jesus, not simply to what we think is best on the human level down here. That's, I mean, often it makes sense humanly what God wants us to do, but sometimes he wants us to step beyond that and to say, no, the supernatural rightness is so much bigger. And so, the king comes when we represent God with generosity and care. So the king comes when we represent his kingdom with generosity and care. When we are trying to put our heart and our love first to him in the best way possible, caring for ourselves in healthy and building ways. As Jesus said, love the Lord God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means there's a healthy way for us to love ourselves. There's a healthy way for us to value who we are. And then we also try to love our neighbor that same way, right? The vibrant love among believers is the most powerful thing in the world. And, you know, it's like I've said this before, but it's really true. I mean, sometimes each of you have met a person in some Christian setting, and you had a better conversation in a minute than you felt like you covered 5 hours worth of good stuff. You know what I mean? It's like you felt like you had a conversation that took a minute, and yet there was so much richness of God flowing back and forth, you just felt you've like filled up for days, right? And that's just how it operates. I mean, God's supernatural love, the Holy Spirit's supernatural things come in when we're working together in community in that healthy way in the Lord and towards the Lord, so that there's just a richness of goodness and love and truth and mercy and grace and understanding that just flows. And healthy sacrifice, right? All these things come together in just that vibrant love that comes in when we really connect with each other in the Lord. And that happens often. Happens every time we need it to happen, because God is in charge. He's in charge, right? And the great thing about the Christian life is I'm not really responsible for it in the end. If I'm doing everything I can with the Lord's responsible for getting me where I need to be, right? He's the one. He's the guide and leader. He's the one that really teaches me what it means to how to understand the scriptures, how to be in community, how to talk with people, how to operate day to day. He's the one that really shows me how to do that. So if I'm willing and if I'm doing what I can do, it's like he's the one that's going to get me to where he wants me to be, because it's his kingdom. It's his kingdom in the end, and that's true for all of us that seek him and love him and want to grow in him and learn. So keep the purity. Keep the purity of the faith against errant and misguided people. So again, just a reminder that there are those that are going wrong. And so we want to keep the purity of the faith. We want to demonstrate that to them. We want to invite them into the purity. But at the same time, stand firm against the corrosion of wrong thinking, you know, coming into our community. So we want to have wisdom and understanding, truth from the Lord, works of miracles. We want to keep protect the outside edges, especially people that are weak and vulnerable, but all of us. And we want to protect against those that are destructive, because people can be really badly mangled and destroyed by the dark side. So we want to protect that as well. And then the classic at the back, it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? So Paul referred that to Jesus. And again, it's really true. I mean, when we live our lives to really, when we live our lives to protect ourselves as the first order of business, that usually doesn't go well. When we live our lives to really honor God and to try to give, to try to be generous, to try to care, to try to love, try to bless, and in that there's healthy protections, right? That's the place to be. That's the great spot to be. Because then our heart is to be generous. We are trying to reflect the character of God, which is perfect, being perfectly generous. We're trying to reflect that character and just let that flow out of us. Let that be the first response. Let that be the thing that really comes out of us, the thing that really people see around us. And so there's, you know, there's just there's such a richness in that, and you really can't go wrong trying to be generous in the Lord. You know, you really can't go wrong with that. There's always good things coming, right? People are not really bored being in the Lord. You know, yeah, you may have an afternoon of a couple of days of things happening, but then pretty soon you're starting to think, well, how can I love this other person more? Or you meet somebody new and there's like, oh, wow, there's a lot of God stuff going on. This is really cool. Now I got a whole bunch more stuff to think about and feel and process, right? Or there's a beautiful sunset, right? So it's like God is not boring. Heaven's not boring. It's the pure outflow of love, of generous, powerful love, will be invigorating forever and ever. And we have that. We have the opportunity to ask for that now, to live in that now, to see a huge amount of that now because of His goodness and His love. So let me pray to conclude. So Father, I just pray that anybody here that is caught in a tough place today, Father, there are those of us going through very difficult things right now, and I pray that You would be addressing and touching each person going through very difficult things right now. Father, I pray that You'd be touching them and blessing them. Father, your presence is our life, and so I pray that You would be giving your presence and your life to each person going through very challenging things this day. I pray that You'd be enlivening them with your grace. I pray that You'd be giving them perspective. You'd be giving them understanding. You'd be giving them patience in a healthy way, perseverance. I pray that they would know when to take action and when to move and to do things, Lord, as well. I pray that You would be giving your benefits and your goodness and your healing into those places as well. Father, we just pray Your mercy and Your power and Your grace on each person going through challenges. And Father, those of us that are right now in kind of a good course and we're feeling confident in You, I pray that You'd increase our confidence in You. Pray that You'd increase our faith in You. Pray that You'd increase the mercy and the goodness, the complexity of Your love and your framework over us. Just give us more and more understanding. Father, it's a great benefit of getting older, is getting more and more wise, seeing more and more things, and understanding more and more how You affect things and how people affect things and just what happens. And so I pray that you would ingrace us. Ingrace each of us with more and more wisdom and understanding about what's happening and what can happen before You, and to be able to step into Your kingdom impacting this world in us and through us. So Lord, I just pray that You would grace us this day, us and each church around and each person that's serious about You. Lord, I pray that You grace us with more and more wisdom and the intermeshing of your goodness and mercy from different areas. It's like I see, so, you know, some of us feel like, you know, I can see God in this area of my life, I can see him in that area of my life, this area, but I can't really see him kind of meshing those together. It's almost like I'm kind of like feel kind of split in my life. Lord, I pray that you begin to draw those areas together to make us feel like we're one person and we have a common approach, and show your mercies and your truth between the different areas that right now we don't see it. So we're able to really be more and more congruent in our heart and our mind. We don't feel scattered. We don't feel separated. We don't feel like there's different things going on and I'm not sure how to put them together. And I pray that you'd be doing that great thing as you desire. So, John, if you want to come on up. And so, Lord, we pray that your incredible goodness would overarch us today, that we would have these breakthroughs. Father, we pray for those that we love and care for that are not following you, not seeking you. Father, we pray that they would begin to understand the gravity of the supernatural today, that they would understand the need to love you and honor you. Father, that when we talk to them, we're not trying to put something on them. We're just trying to reflect reality. We're just trying to show them what the true reality is and invite them into the greater place of obeying you and seeking you and blessing you. So, Father, I pray for any of us that are in that place today that you would be bringing more and more wisdom and understanding, that you would be opening eyes so they see the immensity of life and just how it can only be lived well under Jesus, period. There's no other way to do it. And we just pray that we would see that more and more. Lord, thank you for your blessings today. Thank you that you are our God. Thank you that we can be your children. Thank you that you always have the great things in store for us in your kingdom and your power. And so I just pray for your enthusiasm this afternoon to go with us, for your enthusiasm, for your power, for your blessing, for the eruption of the supernatural and works of wonders to go today. Father, thank you for reflecting your kingdom in our midst, and thank you that you will continue powering that kingdom forward in the great ways that you desire. We just bless you and praise your name in Christ's name.
This is Pastor Todd again. Thank you for listening to the message today. I pray the Lord uses it to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Once again, that is tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the TGP podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.